Okay, so the question is, what is judging? And really, what's the difference between judging and discernment? Because I think a lot of Christians have a question, like, in their minds, they're not clear, what is the difference between judging and discernment? And the answer is really very simple. Judging always involves sight or hearing. Now, Isaiah said that Jesus would not judge according to the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears, but he would judge righteous judgment. And Jesus said, of my own self, I do nothing. Right? But as I see of my Father, that's what I do. As I receive from God, that's what I do. So Jesus would never judge by looking, by sight, or by hearing, right, what people said or what he overheard. He would never judge by that. So what is judging? Well, first of all, let's define the word judging. It's basically coming to a conclusion about a person, a thing, or a circumstance. Now, I can come to a conclusion in two ways. I can judge or I can discern. Judging always goes by what I see or what I hear. And because of what I saw or I heard, I start thinking about it and I come to a conclusion. Discernment, on the other hand, is not dependent in any way on what I see or what I hear. As a matter of fact, it's very independent of that. Discernment comes through the Word of God, because the Word of God defines all things for me. And as I take in the Word of God, as I hear it, and as I listen and receive it, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me more and more. And so discernment comes when the Holy Spirit speaks to me through the Word of God about situations, people, things, whatever. Now, you may not see anything going on, but you may have discernment. As a matter of fact, that's how it usually works with discernment. Okay, discernment is never based on what you see or what you hear. Judging is always based on what you see and what you hear. Okay? So there's your primary difference. Discernment is a gift of the Spirit. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a gift of discerning the spirits. Now, there's also another gift called the gift of knowledge, which is a little bit different than discernment, where God speaks to you in very specific terms about what's going on. Pastor Stevens used to get that. Now, sometimes you'll see people who misuse this gift. They claim this gift without it actually being manifested. And they'll get up and they'll say, okay, somebody in this crowd of 5,000 people has bad headaches and God wants to deliver you, and the Holy Spirit tells me that somebody has bad headaches and God wants to deliver you. That's not the gift of knowledge. Okay. A gift of knowledge would work this way. A man to my right, he's 53 years old. He's been suffering from severe migraine headaches for the past 5 years. And he has to be on medication for this. And at times he's had to not go to work, and he hasn't worked in 3 years because of these severe headaches. God wants to heal you of this. That would be a gift of knowledge. But somebody in a crowd of 5,000, well, I guarantee you, in a crowd of 5,000, you probably have 1,000 who suffer from really bad headaches. It's not a gift of knowledge. Now, discernment is not as precise as a gift of knowledge. Discernment is of a spirit. Okay? Sometimes discernment can lead you to places where you can make a conclusion, like something's going on here and it has to do with this. Okay? And so that can be discernment. But it's never based on seeing something or hearing something. Judging, on the other hand, is I hear something or I see something, I think about it, and I come to a conclusion. Okay, I see a person who looks like this. And now I feel like I've got a gift of discernment about them because I've judged them. And that can happen a lot. Okay? Now, I don't know anything about that person, but I looked, I thought, and I judged. Okay? I came to this conclusion about them. Usually, judging is completely off the mark. Spiritually, with God, it's 100% off the mark. Now, judging is serious business. Judging is the only time in Luke chapter 6 when God threatens the believer with judgment. God has said we have escaped judgment, with this one exception: as you judge, so shall you be judged. So God takes judging extremely seriously, very offensive to God. So God says, as you judge, so shall you be judged. Every other time to the believer, God says, you escaped judgment. You will not be judged unless you judge. So you hear something, you see something, and you start coming to a conclusion about that person. Typically, although not necessarily, but typically, the judgment ends up in the negative. In other words, the conclusion about that person is somehow negative. Okay, that's very typical because it's the flesh, the old sin nature, that's actually doing the judging. And it's part of a pride lust. And so we want to be careful not to enter this place. Jesus would not judge according to what he saw or according to what he heard. Discernment is, I enter into a room and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'll give you an example of discernment. Years ago, I was in Rome for the convention and came across a man working at the hotel who called Jesus Christ Lord. And there was a discussion between people who heard this man, and you know, we were all there to soul win and to hear the word of God, and you know, to be with the missionaries. And several people talked to this man. He worked, I think, in the gift shop in the hotel. Several people talked to this man, but he called Jesus Lord. And one man said, this man is not saved because he doesn't really have understanding of the Bible. And another man said, this man is saved because you cannot call Jesus Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he meant sincerely. He felt Jesus was Lord. The man who said that he was saved because he called Jesus Lord, and you cannot do that by the power of the Spirit, was discerning. The man who said the man is not saved because he doesn't appear to have a good understanding of the Bible was judging. See, the Bible told us in that case what is the criteria to call somebody saved. So discernment there came by the Word of God. Judgment came by an interaction that someone had with him, and he didn't have that person's expected understanding of something. So that person was going by what he heard, and that was judgment. So discernment always comes through the Word of God, and it can also come through the Holy Spirit as he appropriates things from the Word of God. And then that person has discernment. Sometimes you can walk into a room and you can discern what's going on, although nobody has said a word. That's not the same as, you know, how sometimes maybe, this is, I think, very clear, if people have had an argument and you walk into a room and there's tension in the air. That's not the same as discernment. Discernment is when people are going about their normal business and all of a sudden you can tell, because you're in tune to the Holy Spirit, that something's going on. Now, only those who are Spirit-filled will have discernment. People who are, by Spirit-filled, I mean those people whose thoughts are regulated by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you have subjectivity. And subjectivity comes from impressions. And so you can walk into a room, get an impression, and have it be completely subjective. You can walk into a room and have discernment and have it be from the Holy Spirit. And the difference is in who is regulating the thoughts. Is the Holy Spirit regulating the thoughts? Or is the person's natural mind regulating the thoughts? Now, a subjective person can think that they're hearing from the Holy Spirit when they're hearing from their own subjectivity. Because the Holy Spirit's not on the throne. They're still on the throne. And it's almost like they say, okay, now Holy Spirit, speak. And then they start hearing. But they're not hearing from it. They're hearing their own thoughts. But they're calling them the Holy Spirit. So I want to make that distinction. Discernment is never given with negativity. In other words, I may discern a negative situation, but it's never given for me to approach it in negativity. Discernment is always given so that I can edify. Let's say that I discern, real discernment, that someone has an anger issue. Now, I don't discern that necessarily by what they say or what they look like. But you can simply discern that there's anger here in this person's heart. You never go to that person and say, you got to deal with your anger. That's judgment. You go to that person and you say, you know, God really loves you. And you build them up, because I can't deal with another person's heart anyway. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's place. That's not my place. If I try to, I usually enter into judgment or some form of religious manipulation. Now, if I have discernment, it's for the purpose of edifying other people, of building them up. Why? Because as people get built up, then they start to grow. Very rarely will the Holy Spirit give to approach somebody in any other way, but to build them up. Okay? You see, I don't have the tools to do that, because I don't see into people's hearts, but He does. But usually when people do that, they're not discerning anyway, they're judging. And so discernment comes from the Spirit, and it's given to build up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. If edification doesn't follow discernment, then more than likely discernment never took place. Or the person went from discernment to judgment. But I really have never seen an instant where a person has really gone from discernment to judgment, because if the person, if their heart and their thinking is in a place where they would go to judgment, God won't give the discernment. God will just stay quiet, because He's not in the business of uncovering people. And so there's this big difference between judgment and discernment. Now, there's also a difference between judgment in the mind and then overt judgment. Judgment in the mind is just that. I see someone and I think. Okay? I see what somebody is doing. It looks a little bit peculiar to me. I see a situation. I don't fully get it. I see a thing or I hear something and I start to think. Now, I don't repeat it, but I start to think. And my thinking is not necessarily edifying towards that person. Now, here's the thing. As we think in our hearts, so are we. And so people may say to themselves, well, I didn't say anything. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, if you even look, or if you're angry with somebody, you've killed them. If you look at a woman or a man, for that matter, with desire in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You see, there, it's a heart issue. Now, God told Samuel that while man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And so sometimes Christians will say to themselves, I'm okay if I'm just thinking, but I'm not saying. No, God's looking at the heart. You're saying, my outward appearance is fine, but my inward is not. Well, the Pharisees were the same way. Their outward appearance was perfect, but the inward was completely corrupt. And so we have to be careful that we think correctly. So we enter into a thing, we think something because we've seen something. We think something because we've heard something, and we don't think with Philippians 4:8. In other words, we don't think whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is according to the finished work. We don't think about whatsoever is virtuous. We think to ourselves, oh, like that. Or, oh, this. That's judgment. Judgment can lead to intrinsic evil. It's called kakos evil in the original language. Evil is Satan's government. Okay. So intrinsic evil is when Satan's government is reigning in an individual's heart. So if I repeatedly or consistently live in judgment, I'm going to start getting perhaps negative toward a person. Bitter, resentful, angry. Now I've entered into evil. When that becomes persistent, that is the signal that that has become evil. How do I get out of that? I have to take every thought into captivity. What does that mean? In other words, when those negative thoughts come, I have to practice a little bit of mental discipline. And I say to myself, I'm not going there. And you may have to wrestle with yourself sometimes. It's like Paul said, there's a war in my members in Romans chapter 7. There's a war in our members. Members means physical body. With my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, with my old sin nature, I'm just like the world. I'm just bad as the world. Okay, that's the war within the members, right? Well, in our minds, there can be a war like this also, where I don't think well, and I need to consistently practice mental discipline. Somebody can get pretty tired doing that eventually. How do I keep from getting tired? I keep receiving the Word of God. I just listen. I don't try to do anything with it. I just listen. Because if I just listen, the Word of God starts taking over. And the right perspective starts taking over because I have God's perspective now. Now, I never take in the Word as information. I think that's one of the big mistakes people make, is they take in the Word as information. If I take the Word of God as information, then I start utilizing it with my old mind. In other words, I don't use the Holy Spirit's thinking, I use my old natural thinking. And it's just like having learned how to cook something, or how to repair a car, or how to perform heart surgery, or whatever. Okay, I have this information, and my mind uses the information to try to do something that will give me a desired outcome. That's not how we use the Word of God. The Word of God, we just listen. We just receive it. And as we just listen and just receive it, and we do it more and more, it starts to take over my thinking. And then, having mental discipline isn't such a struggle. It just takes over my thinking. Without the Word of God, I have no options. I'm going to think in natural thinking, and it's not going to be pretty. But with the Word of God, it starts taking over my mind. And then the Holy Spirit starts using that Word to reveal things in specifics to me. And no longer does that person judge, but they may have discernment. Okay. Now, discernment only comes when God gives it. God doesn't always give discernment. But discernment will come when God gives it. Discernment will come to a person who has the heart of God. It will not come to a person who's living in their natural carnal mind. Because that person would try to use discernment as some sort of a bat. Right? Pound people over the head with it. Get people right. Get people to do things. But that's not discernment. At that point, that person is in judgment. if a person has the heart of God, if they're given discernment, they're going to love people with it. They're going to edify and build people up. Okay, there's your clear-cut difference. Okay? Now, the other thing is when judgment starts to be repeated. Okay, a person will repeat judgment for one reason. Now, let's break this down. I see something or I hear something. I come to a conclusion based on my natural understanding. In other words, let's say I don't like the way it looks or I don't like the way it sounds. Now, I don't say anything initially, but I start mulling it in my head. And I think about it, and I start adding things to it, and look at that. And, oh, I heard that. And, oh, over there, look at that. And I start adding to it. This is judgment. Okay, as this builds, this judgment builds, and I can very easily enter into that intrinsic evil then. When that starts to be repeated to someone, hey, did you see or did you hear? Like, what did you think? Like, isn't that, you know, question? At that point, you went from kakos evil to what's called paneros evil. Paneros evil is infectious evil. In other words, one person has evil thoughts in their own heart and they infect somebody else with it. By repeating, they give them those cockatrice eggs by repeating those thoughts. Now, when that happens, evil has become infectious. That's the next stage of evil. Okay? In churches or organizations, judgment is the first step of conspiracy. Conspiracy is Satan's plan. Judgment is always the first step of a conspiracy. Judgment will always lead a person into deception. They become deceived by their own natural thoughts. Because in reality, true thoughts from God are according to the finished work, are according to grace, are according to His Word. Those are Philippians 4:8 thoughts. Now, I start to think to myself, oh, I can think these things. Oh, it's important. I have to repeat these things. I have to handle these things. I have to manipulate these things. That is when a person is operating in deception. What happened with Uzzah? Uzzah genuinely thought that the ark was going to fall. And so he grabs the ark and God gets angry. But Uzzah was trying to protect the ark. Why in the world would God get angry at Uzzah for trying to protect the ark? The reason is because Uzzah was not operating in faith towards the presence of God. Uzzah was not operating in faith, you could say, towards the finished work. God was very capable of taking care of his ark. As a matter of fact, the ark took care of Israel. Israel didn't take care of the ark. Israel made a place for the ark. But the ark took care of Israel. Now, the ark itself was nothing magic. It was simply the representation of the presence of God. And when Israel, under God's direction, let's say, went to war, or like against Jericho, right, they would take the ark in front of them. But when Israel did it of their own accord and they put the ark in front of them, somebody stole the ark. The Philistines took the ark away from them. And so they weren't actually, they were using the ark like it was some voodoo thing. Okay, but it wasn't. The ark was only useful as long as it was God's presence. Okay? So it was symbolic of the presence of God. And God wanted to know that His presence would go before people, when they were operating in His will. When Uzzah touched the ark, the problem was that not whether the ark would fall or not, but whether he was respecting God's presence. And because he was operating outside of faith toward God's presence, even though in a very sentimental way towards the ark he wanted to protect it, God became angry. And we all know what happened to Uzzah afterwards, unfortunately. Scared the daylights, made him mad at first, but scared the daylights out of David. And David said, okay, let's just put the ark down. Let's nobody touch this thing until we figure out what we're supposed to do with it. And he was right. So they left the ark at Obed-Edom's house. And he got really blessed. Why? Because Obed-Edom recognized that the ark was really the presence of God. And he exercised faith. And then when they took the ark away, Obed-Edom went to him, he became a doorman in the temple because he wanted to be near the ark, near the presence of God, because he exercised faith. Now, here's the thing. When a person enters into judging, it will bring them to deception. And their deception is this, that they are operating outside of faith towards the presence of God. They operate outside of faith toward the finished work. They operate outside of faith toward the promises of God. They operate outside of faith to the Word of God. And all the meantime, they think they're doing something good. And in truth, they're doing something evil. Because they're deceived, they don't see it. And if you talk to them about it, they would swear up and down, they're doing something good. But no, they're doing something evil. Here's the thing about judging by sight. Where did it come from? Judging by sight came from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in Genesis chapter 2, God says, if you operate at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And the death there is talking about you will separate yourself from my presence. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. God didn't separate them from God's presence. They separated themselves from God's presence. Because they entered into being deceived. And so, judging leads to deception. Deception will become infectious. In other words, evil becomes infectious. Deception is what takes me to that evil. So I start talking, I start doing, I start trying to handle it, I start trying to control it, I start trying, whatever it is. And God says, nope, now you're in infectious evil. Now, if that happens in an organization, like a church or even a business or any kind of an organization, this can happen in. When that happens, then the next step after deception is conspiracy. All of a sudden, the people have to start handling things. They have to start taking control of the situation. They have to start taking control of the organization. Conspiracy can have many different levels. Now, I will tell you right now that every fruitful church and every godly organization will have a conspiracy against it. Okay, why? Because Satan doesn't like them. And Satan will use people who judge to start the conspiracies. Now, I have personally seen a few of them in our ministry. And every single time it works the exact same way. People operate by what they see or what they hear. They judge. They start talking. And then they start to have to do something about it. That's a conspiracy. And so we have to be careful not to enter into that judgment. Now, what does a person do if they have entered into that outward judgment where evil has become infectious? Every step they took in, they have to take out. Realize something. When a person enters that place, they're no longer operating in personal sin. They are operating under a government. And that government is actually calling the shots. They think they're making decisions, but it's whispers from the atmospheric demons that are planting thoughts in their minds. And they are actually operating under a government. Jesus did not die for evil. Evil is not covered by the blood. Evil is not removed by the blood. So when a person enters that place of evil, every step they took in, they now have to take out. That means that, let's say that I start speaking against someone. Okay, now I have to go to the people I spoke to and I say, I was wrong. Then I go to the person that I spoke about, and just like with Job's friends, I have to say, you know, forgive me, this is what I did, and I was wrong. Every step I take in, I have to take back out. That's risky stuff. Evil is not something anybody wants to mess with. In judgment, if it's strictly mental, it's the same thing. Every step I took in, I have to take out. Now, I took different steps. So the steps that I take out are different steps also. If I'm simply thinking in evil, and I'm judging people, or I'm judging circumstances, then I take every thought into captivity. And the thoughts that I want to think in that regard, I cast them down. And the Bible says, actually, I literally hurl them away from myself. The easiest way to do that is when you recognize that the thoughts aren't your own. You recognize that it's a demon whispering in the ear. You can't see them, but you can hear them, but you don't know you're hearing them. Because they are subtle. They sound like your own thoughts sometimes. But sometimes you get a thought that's like, holy moly, where did that come from? Sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes it's just pure negativity. Well, that's a projection. They're called projections. When demons whisper in people's ears, those are called projections. A person receives a projection and they accept it as their own thought. And that's the point where it can become evil, because it can become governmental if I receive it and accept it. What happens is I start rejecting those thoughts. So my mistake was that I accepted those thoughts. Let me give you a clear-cut example. Let's say I see somebody and they're dressed very strangely, or they're dressed... Let's say this. This happens a lot. Let's say that I see a young woman and she's dressed immodestly. Okay? And I start to think about her in negative terms. Well, she's like this. You know, she's obviously, you know, bad news. She's obvious. She's like this. Well, maybe she's not. Maybe she has been raised this way, and to her it's perfectly normal, and nobody ever told her that that's not the way to do things. Maybe in the circles she operates in, all her friends are like that, and they all were raised this way. And they think this is completely normal. They don't see anything wrong with it. Does it mean it's good to be immodest? No. But I don't touch that. I don't say, oh, she's like this. No, I don't do that. What you do is you bring Christ to the person and you don't worry about what she looks like. Because you don't know why she looks that way. Okay, there's your very classic type of example of judging in the mind. Okay? So what you do is the thought says, she's like, no, I'm not going to think that way. This is a person who needs the love of God. And that's how you think. And in that point, you have cast down the one thought and picked up the Philippians 4:8 thought. Right, let me read Philippians 4:8 just in case anybody's not clear on what that means, because this is really how we are to think. We are to think according to Philippians 4:8. And so people will excuse themselves for not thinking in Philippians 4:8, but that's a dangerous thing to do, because God never said it's okay for us not to think that way. Okay, but people want to live in their natural disposition or the worldly way of thinking, or a selfish way of thinking, and they say, well, I can do it because. A lot of people can tell you why they think wrong. Okay, and they'll excuse their wrong thinking. Well, I can do it because it upsets me. Well, if we were to be completely honest, and come right down to it, the person would say, I can do it because I'm self-centered. right? That's what that really is. Okay? But in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things are true. Now, we've got to realize, what is true? Truth and fact are different things. Truth, Jesus was the truth. Whatsoever things are according to the mind of Christ. Whatever is according to the way God sees things. Okay? How does God see things? Whatever things are according to the love of God, grace of God, mercy of God, kindness of God, finished work of God. Okay, those are the things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Okay, what does that mean? In other words, whatsoever things are open before God. What am I saying? What do I mean by open before God? God calls this the way it is. Right? For example, he says to Israel in Isaiah 43 that they're precious in his eyes. That Israel at that time was rebelling against God. But to be honest, you'd say, no, Israel is precious in God's eyes, even though they were rebelling against God. Okay? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, according to the finished word. What is justice, right? What Jesus did for me, that's really justice. So whatsoever is according to what Christ did for us. Okay? Whatsoever things are lovely of God's character. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Not an evil report, not a negative report, of a good report. If there's any virtue, in other words, if there's anything that has to do with mental excellence, what is mental excellence? With having God's thoughts. Virtue is mental excellence. Mental excellence comes from God's thoughts. So whatsoever is according to God's thoughts, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, this is one passage, and it tells us how to think. There's never been a person who's had serious problems mentally, unless they have some kind of an organic like problem. There's never been a person who's thought with Philippians 4:8 who's had mental problems. There's never been a person who's lived in Philippians 4:8 who's had issues with anger, or insecurity, or jealousy, or envy. Or any of the other things that come out of the flesh. Right? There's never been a person who's had judgment problems when they live in Philippians 4:8. And so, we think this way. So when the other thoughts come, we cast them down and we think according to what Philippians 4:8 says. Take some mental discipline. But as a person grows, and they keep receiving the Word of God, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Folks, never put yourself in the company of people who judge. Never put yourself in the company of people who would repeat negativity. Even if it's your friend, tell your friends, listen, I don't want to hear it. If your friends start talking that way, tell them, I don't want to hear it. Why? You don't want those seeds, those cockatrice eggs. A cockatrice is a type of a serpent. Okay, serpent's eggs will hatch. It's poisonous. They'll hatch. And then they'll start biting. Right? In other words, what it's talking about on a practical level is I receive the wrong thoughts from somebody. The thoughts take root. And they'll become a part of my frame of reference. And now I have something that is negative or even sometimes from Satan as part of my frame of reference. And it keeps contaminating and corrupting my thinking. It can take over the thinking. So I have to be very careful. You know what it's like? It's like a small virus. You know what it takes to get a flu? It doesn't take much. It takes a sneeze. Right? Say you're in an elevator with somebody that has a flu. They sneeze without covering their mouth and you happen to inhale some of the particles. Okay? But it's out there in the air. You inhale some of the particles and guess what you got now? You don't have it immediately. You have it maybe 3, 4, 5 days later. And then you get really sick. Why? Because you took in something that's negative, that's not good for you, without even knowing it. And it started to grow inside of you, fester inside of you. similar to judging, similar to receiving negativity. You take that in, and it starts to fester in a person, starts to grow in a person. And then it starts to take over in the person. So you never want to receive that. If you receive it, every step you take in, you take out. If it's mental only, you have to cast those thoughts down and bring all thoughts into captivity to the mind of Christ. If a person has made a brutal error where they've entered into evil and started repeating, then they need to go and talk to the people and say, I made a mistake. They talk to the people they've repeated it to. They talk to the people they repeated it about. I made a mistake. What do you do if somebody wants to tell you about somebody else? Hey, let me tell you about such and such. I like what Pastor Schaller says. He says, okay, you can tell me all about it. Let me go get them. And then you can tell me all about it. You know what usually happens? Person shuts up. Right? So that's how you handle people who want to come to you with something like, let me tell you about what this person did. Okay, let me go get them and we can talk about them right in front of them. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people don't want to do that. Do you know why? They have no guts. That's why. And they're intimidated by what somebody will think or what somebody will say. And they'll listen to evil and they'll actually damage themselves. Or let me put it differently. They'll actually allow somebody to damage them because they didn't have the guts to stand up when they should have. And then you get some problems. That judging thing is serious business. It's the only thing, it's the only time when God said He would judge a believer. All other instances, God says, we've passed out of judgment. We will not be judged. But with judgment in Luke chapter 6, He said, as you judge, so shall you be judged. So that is the only time when God would threaten a believer with being judged by God. That's serious. It's one of the most serious things that a person can get into is judgment. Adam and Eve lost paradise because of judgment. The fall came because of it. It's a dreadful thing. It is Satan's perhaps number one strategy is judgment. It's bad news. Satan did it in heaven when he was Lucifer. He got Adam and Eve to do it, and he tries to get people to do it still. So never enter into that.